Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Defense without currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram.
Welcome to Tokens Radio Show. It's Sunday, September the 29th. I'm Christy.
I'm Linda.
And I'm Elizabeth.
Oh, we're broadcasting
live.
And
I'm Joe Biden.
Hey.
Really?
Potato Joe. Good to see you.
How fast do you run, Joe?
Oh, very fast, especially right now in my hospital gown.
Yeah, there you go. With your walker on top of it.
I'm playing hide and seek with the Secret Service.
All right. We'll tell you the hospital gown story in just a moment. Let's get through the opening and we'll come back to that. It was really funny. So we're broadcasting live from the studios of KCNR on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM and streaming online at KCNR1460.com. Follow us on X for updates at Tokens Radio Show. We have Ben and David behind the scenes today. And Ben, would you like to tell us what happened with the hospital gown and Potato Joe?
So the show's running, and I'm just admiring my beautiful, beautiful car in the background. And then suddenly this old man walks by with a walker in a hospital gown.
Yep.
And I think you could finish the story.
I mean, and he had bandages, like, dangling off of his arms. Yeah. And he goes by the window. It was during the earlier show. And I had to start I had to say something on air. It's like, wow. I said to the other guys, I said, did you see that? And David goes, yeah, I saw it. It's like, unbelievable. Yeah, there he goes.
With his walker
by the window.
Well, I guess he left AMA. Right? Against medical advice,
goodness.
Just kind of checked himself out?
I don't know, but the hospital gown, the backside is open to the world and everybody.
With this weather, we need a breeze window. So,
yeah, you know what I mean?
You know.
That poor guy.
I kind of felt sorry for him because, one, did he leave on his own, or does he have dementia or something?
So many questions.
Duh.
Well,
it's a typical day in Reading nowadays to see stuff like that, especially on the weekend while we're here at KCNR.
Yeah. So if I say, there goes Joe, that might be that guy going the other way across the window.
And of course, we weren't talking about our president, Joe.
No.
We don't know where he is anyway, but
he doesn't know where he is.
This is just Joe in the hospital gown. But thank you for that story. That was kind of hilarious when we walked in.
Yeah, it was like, am I really seeing this? You can't unsee what you saw.
There are some things that we see out this window that says, I do not want that in my memory when I go home today. All right.
Anyway.
Well, okay. You know, Americans are facing this severe financial crisis, and BRICS is developing their own currency. Israel is going cashless. Scary.
Yeah.
And Bhutan is a case for other countries to follow and more. We're going to talk about all this coming up next. But first, let's get a market update and a word from our sponsor.
Yes. So we have Bitcoin at $65,930.
Wow.
It's a great time to get in.
Yeah.
iBit ETF at $37.39, Ethereum at $2,666. So I'll let you make up your mind about that one.
That's an omen to it.
Yeah.
XRP at 64 cents.
Wow.
It's kind of went up a little bit there.
Yeah.
And XLM at 10 cents. And then Polymarket, we have 50% of the vote going for Harris and 49% for Trump. So it's still a very tight race, neck and neck there.
The margin of error
is less and less, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So that's on polymarket.com if anyone wants to.
This omen number of Ethereum. We had some sort of history like that here in our county, too, bringing up 666.
Oh, yeah.
Some excitement that happened.
That would have to do with the license plate on somebody's car.
Yeah, we're getting a little edgy, folks. Just a little edgy.
I mean, they said that they didn't put it on there. But if I got a plate that said 666, I would go ask for another plate.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, this is somebody obviously is very comfortable with their license plate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since we're going on random stories, 10 seconds. I once lived in a house. The address was like 666, and it had mold, and it was terrible. And my mom got so sick, and we had to move out. So.
Wow.
I guess we're almost in October.
That doesn't surprise me from you.
Stories.
Yeah, she can come up with a story like that from her little.
We need it Halloween
quite the
music.
Experience.
Oh, I bet.
That's, yeah.
Spooky.
Yeah, it was spooky. We need spooky music.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Spooky.
Well, yeah. Once we.
I guess I should have got some different music if we were going to Spookyville today. Hey, before we move on, while she was doing the market update, do you remember Kmart used to have Blue Light Special?
Yes. Yeah.
I just came up with it. We need the Orange Light Special.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Don't you think that would be good?
I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
Okay.
Kind of a bubble filter.
All right.
All right. Today's show is sponsored by our friends at Queen of Dragons, home to Pinnacle Cultivators. Their carefully cultivated, unique strands offer elevated experience with exotic genetics and robust flavors. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771. If you would like to join in our discussion, give the station a call at 530-605-4567 or hit us up at the chat, kcnr1460.com.
Yeah, and the chat room is up and running.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
No, it is not. The channels are closed right now. They might have closed it down earlier, but it will probably come back up.
Yeah, I see it open.
Is it open now?
Yeah, it looks like it is.
I don't have anything. Oh, well.
Well, Linda.
It's not the first time that I've been kicked out of the chat. I'm just not sure what I do sometimes.
Were you being naughty?
I could have been.
Okay.
If you can, you can process my thoughts or know my thoughts.
So, you know, Americans are facing a severe financial crisis.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I think we all feel in this one. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Well, it's characterized by record low savings. You know, I don't know anybody who really can sustain something, you know, a $400 emergency, really.
Yeah.
You know, and be able to go and buy groceries and all of that afterward without using credit.
Mm-hmm.
Soaring credit card debt. Rising living expenses. Have you heard about the PG&E bills? Oh, my gosh. People are getting right in that $600-$700 range, and it's whether they're using the electricity or not. So, anyway, talking about rising living expenses.
Yeah.
And it's leading to an unsustainable reliance on credit and government aid. So we have Peter St. Ong, who only in his infinite wisdom can explain this very, very well. So why don't we go ahead and listen to what he has to say.
Americans are running out of money. According to the Federal Reserve, America's savings rate just hit a fresh low, while credit card balances hit a record high at 25% interest. In short, the median American is currently scrounging for coins in the couch cushions and putting the hamburger helper on the visa. So according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis...
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. But that's not all. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close. And all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. And it's election season, so don't forget to vote.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearm Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
This is an encore recording of Tokens Radio Show from September 29th, 2024.
Needed to replace the washer and dryer and fell behind, soon ballooning to $12,000 in credit card debt at 25%. Now, the fun keeps going. I've mentioned recently how car repossessions are rising because millions of Americans were forced to buy expensive cars during the pandemic, since supply chain shortages meant they were only making the expensive ones. Now, repossessions are up 23% year-on-year. Yes, it is a good time to be a repo man, and keep in mind we have not even hit the meat of the recession yet. The American consumer is floating on drained savings, credit card debt, and government money. Even with all that, incomes are still falling. None of it's sustainable, we learned that in 2008, but it's a lot easier for Washington to kick the can to let the American people mortgage their future than it is to take the federal boot off the neck of the economy, of the job creators, entrepreneurs, small businesses, manufacturers. Economist Herb Stein famously said, whatever cannot go on forever will stop, and the music is running out.
Oh, my.
You had a balance of 93 cents.
All right.
And at an average of 2.25% interest over a period of 1,000 years.
Oh, it's been
years,
doing it.
That comes to $4.3 billion.
I was going to make a comment on that. You know, the way things are now with credit cards and stuff,
yeah.
If you... A lot of them, if you only do the minimum payment, yeah. And because the percentage rate is so high, you will actually make your balance go up. Do you realize that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can't even...
You can't pay... No, it just, each time it'll just go up.
Right.
I thought Biden's advisor said that the Treasury has infinite money, so...
Well, they think they do. They have infinite money. They really do. It's funny money.
Funny money?
It's like playing Monopoly. Real. It's not real.
No.
That's why things are so much more expensive. They can make all the money they want. It's just things are going to be more expensive along the way.
I'm willing to bet real money that there's less inflation of Monopoly money than the U.S. dollar.
Less inflation of... Say that again.
Yeah.
Of the Monopoly money of the board games.
Yes, okay. I would say so. I think the Monopoly game has more value than our dollar.
There's probably fewer of them.
My question is, when you say real money, what are you offering in the bet?
Monopoly money.
Oh, I've taken that bet.
You know, Trump was hitting on this when he says, you know, if he is successful, which we all hope and pray that he does, that he's going to fix credit card interest rates at 10% for a period of time so that this will help reduce this burden on people. Obviously, he's seen the numbers. He's definitely a numbers guy.
What?
$5.1 trillion in credit card debt. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And with a quarter of a trillion in credit card interest alone per year. Did I hear that correctly?
I think so.
Wow. And repossessions are up 23%. So I guess that's going to maybe make used car prices affordable again at some point because they're going to have to be circulated.
Well, or they could go up.
They could.
Yeah.
If they have too much inventory, though.
It's like right before our eyes, the American people are becoming slaves to the banks.
We're getting fleeced, folks.
Well, that is crazy. But can you imagine the difference it would make if a credit card interest went from 29 or whatever most of them are 29.99 right and above.
Yeah, 25 right. and above.
To 10?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I don't know.
It is like a loan sharking.
Yeah.
So.
And he said, you know, to be a good time to be in car repo. And I'm thinking, I wrote it down because, you know, both my father and my husband used to repo cars.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, you know, not really, because with the way people are getting unsettled, I don't think I would want to go try to repo some people's cars.
Well, they'd have to go with, you know, armor gear on and just be prepared to be shot at.
Back in the day, it was dangerous enough. You know, you pulled the tow truck up there and hooked it up. You know, that's when you hooked them up.
Yeah.
And you were gone, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Just in, like with real estate foreclosures, I mean, when people are upset at the bank, my gosh, the things that they do to those houses are incredible.
Oh, yeah, rip out the piping and the air conditioning and the electrical wires. They do so.
Putting concrete in swimming pool skimmers.
Oh,
and
that's
things
right.
Like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or offloading a dump truck full of trash, you know, onto the house. I mean, it's just a lot of nasty stuff that they do. So it is incredible. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So a significant shift is happening in the global financial that needs to get more attention. I kind of hit on this morning. Mm-hmm. Several major economies, including Brazil, Russia, China, and India, collectively known as BRICS. We kind of had a conversation the other day about this.
It's not BRICS.
Yeah.
It's BRICS.
Yeah. Are developing their shared currency. This isn't just idle talk. They're making concrete progress.
Somebody
said, they've been doing that for years. They might have been, but this is at the next level, I think, that they have taken this to. They're expanding their membership and ironing out the technical details for implementation. The goal is to create alternative to the U.S. dollar for international trade and reserves. That is a big deal, folks.
And the
outside of the SWIFT system. Too.
The Bible does talk about the one currency in the end.
The one world currency?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're shooting for. While it's a gradual process, the potential impact on global financial systems could be substantial. It's worth keeping an eye on, as it could reshape the economy, economic power dynamics in the coming years. This move is partly in response to recent U.S. financial policy, which have made some countries weary of relying too heavily on the dollar. As the BRICS currency develops, it could offer a new level of financial independence for emerging economies, potentially altering the landscape of global trade and investment.
Yeah, we have to watch BRICS. They're coming on strong, and they're done with the U.S. hegemony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't realize when they say no more U.S. dollars, and they're going after like 20 other countries, where is that going to put the U.S. dollar?
Yeah.
But if it did come to Brits versus BRICS, I would choose BRICS.
Oh, I would choose BRICS.
I'm American.
Well. Yes. Well, the BRICS is just no different than a CBDC.
What's going on? Yeah, I will say that it's,
I love it, Ben.
Like the
Thank
political
you.
Climate has changed since even World War II and things, where it made sense to maybe partner with other nations for security and have that kind of alliance. And I mean, I think Russia's like, we're not a part of that. We're not benefiting. Let's just make our own. Then why do I have to trade in dollars? Different things. So I think there's been, you know, it will hurt the U.S. dollar, and, you know, we want America to thrive, but it's also good for other countries to have their own autonomy and be able to have a real free market.
Right.
They don't want a Bretton Woods 2.0.
Yeah. And they can get in.
They saw how that turned out.
It's sad when, you know, people then with not good intentions start making their own system and things, but that's why whatever system is there that's a healthy ecosystem needs to not be so stringent, but have like a policy where all can play and not be so like cancel culture.
Ooh.
You know, because that's what started this. It's like, you did this, you can't play. And that's just going to cause an opposition and where we just think it's somehow, I don't know, going to make people change their incentives.
But there is something where we all can play. Yeah.
It's called Bitcoin.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Good. Everybody gets to play.
Yeah.
Well, speaking
rules
on
out
that,
rulers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just speaking on that note, Matt Hoogan from Bitwise Investments noticed something interesting at a recent financial advisor summit that he attended. Most of the bigwigs there said that they own Bitcoin and other crypto.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why. This is a big change from previous years. Hoogan thinks that it's a sign that the financial world is warming up to crypto, especially after Bitcoin ETFs launched this year. He expects these advisors will start recommending crypto to their clients soon, and it's a pretty big deal when the money experts start putting their cash into something new like this. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, Bitwise itself manages over $4.5 billion in crypto assets, so there are no small potatoes in the game. This trend can mean that we're on the cusp of seeing a lot more of mainstream money flowing into cryptocurrencies. You know, I spoke with our financial guy, Felix, last week, and the company he's with are just about ready to bring on crypto advising.
Yeah.
Because they weren't allowed to do that before.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Yes, and so, you know, it's coming. He feels it's about 6 months out.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I mean, people want it as part of their portfolio.
Yes,
and
they do.
And you're really seeing if a firm doesn't have that or carry those options, kind of makes somebody wonder if they're up with the times and kind of on the cusp of providing all the best and new investments to their customers.
Yeah, you got to wonder, do they really have your best interest at heart? If they're not doing something,
or even
like
not
that.
Just understand the changing financial market, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we have this person that's in the chat. It's got an interesting name. Yeah. Yeah.
We do. Yeah, oh, that's right. I can't see it.
Yeah. So what's up, Elle? Huh? Okay.
I wish I could.
Warming up to crypto is just trying to launder more rubies to save Putin from getting his butt kicked by Ukraine. Yeah, okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion, that's for sure. So thank you for putting your comment in the chat.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to sign back.
So apparently they've got some little thing going on between these two people here. So, yep, hand clap. Mm-hmm. All right, so we got a Bhutan. What's going on?
Yeah, very excited to talk about the Kingdom of Bhutan. I feel like a country that we don't hear much a lot. It's a small Himalayan nation, should I say, and it has quietly become the fourth largest holder of for government holders of Bitcoin. So that's crazy, and one might think, like, who else are they surpassing? And El Salvador is another nation that they are. So they have around 13,000 Bitcoin, right, where El Salvador has close to 6 that they've reported.
That's incredible. That we
know. Yeah, so this happened really quietly, and the World Bank has even classified them as a developing country, kind of like a small Asian nation with limited economic capacity. That was a label that has been slapped on them for years, and now through Bitcoin, you know, they're serving as an example now for developing nations that you don't have to be capped economically. And then the other question one might say is, what kind of, like, toll is this having on their country and their other resources? And again, the more I look into them, the more I'm just so surprised, but they've been able to power everything entirely by renewable energy and hydropower. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen, using what they have to create wealth.
Yeah, we were talking about that here, how we have these resources and can do the same.
Yeah, and it's interesting because as the U.S. and China and other larger nations, which they're in the top two holders of Bitcoin, and they've got a lot of it just from lawsuits and kind of confiscating it, but they're taking a different approach in Bhutan and, you know, mining it themselves and figuring out how to just integrate crypto innovation. It's just, I guess, interesting that we think that the smaller nations or nations that have a reputation of being limited economically are now leading this race.
Yes.
And that just gives me so much hope that Bitcoin is truly for everyone and every nation.
Fourth in the world. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have a cut to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go ahead and listen to that.
Nestled in the Himalayas, Bhutan, a tiny Buddhist kingdom with fewer than 900,000 people, has emerged as an unexpected yet powerful player in the world of cryptocurrencies. Known for its serene landscapes, happiness-centric philosophy, and commitment to sustainability, Bhutan has quietly amassed a significant treasure. over 13,000 Bitcoin worth approximately $780 million. For a country with a GDP of just under $3 billion, this is a staggering sum, making Bhutan the fourth largest government holder of Bitcoin globally. The Himalayan Kingdom is only behind the United States, China and the United Kingdom as it overtook El Salvador, Ukraine and Germany. Unlike the United States and China, which gained their cryptocurrency through seizures and legal battles, Bhutan took a more proactive approach by investing directly in Bitcoin mining. And the nation's journey into the digital asset world has been led by its state-owned investment arm, Druk Holdings. Now, even though Bitcoin, the world's first decentralized digital currency, was created in 2009, it has since evolved from a fringe internet experiment into a globally recognized financial asset. And what makes Bitcoin unique is its limited supply and its decentralized nature, operating outside the control of any central bank. While on the other hand, mining Bitcoin involves solving complex mathematical problems to validate transactions on the blockchain, a process that consumes significant energy but offers lucrative rewards in Bitcoin currency. Bhutan's decision to mine Bitcoin rather than purchase it directly aligns with its broader strategy to diversify revenue streams. The country's Bitcoin mining activities have been fueled by its abundant hydropower resources, making Bhutan one of the most eco-friendly crypto miners in the world.
And with that, we will take a break and we will continue our conversation and news headlines. You are listening to Tokens Radio Show on KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. We'll see you in a few.
Political turmoil, censure controversy, and unresolved legal issues. The Shasta Lake City Council's recent 3-2 vote to censure Councilman Greg Watkins has sparked intense controversy amid an ongoing legal drama involving Mayor Janice Powell. This contentious move, coming just weeks before a crucial election, has deeply divided the community and raised questions about the appropriate use of council powers. Mayor Powell initiated the censure, citing concerns over Watkins' campaign practices, including an email sent to city staff and statements made at a League of Women Voters leaders meeting. However, the timing and nature of the censure have drawn criticism, with some residents dismissing it as a, quote, witch hunt and a disgusting campaign stunt. Watkins, who along with Powell and Councilwoman Tina Eisenbaugh is up for re-election, vehemently denies any wrongdoing. He accuses Powell of defamation and electioneering, describing her actions as, quote, delusional, and arguing that the censure is a calculated move to influence the upcoming election. Complicating matters further, Mayor Powell is no stranger to controversy. In 2023, the Shasta County Superior Court found Powell guilty of elder abuse and financial abuse against her parents. The court deemed her conduct so severe that it imposed hefty penalties and required the return of a classic vehicle she had illegally registered in her name. Interestingly, while local news outlets have extensively covered the censure controversy, they have remained notably silent on Powell's ongoing legal troubles. This discrepancy in reporting has led to discussions about media bias and the public's right to comprehensive information about their elected officials. As the election approaches, Shasta Lake voters face a challenging decision. They must weigh the allegations against Powell and Watkins, considering the immediate censure issue alongside the broader implications for local governance and ethical leadership. This situation serves as a stark reminder of the challenges faced by small communities when personal conflicts, political rivalries, and legal issues intersect with governance. It underscores the vital importance of maintaining ethical standards in public office, even in small-town politics, and the need for transparency, accountability, and unbiased media coverage in local government affairs. As Shasta Lake residents prepare to cast their votes, they must consider crucial questions. Who can they trust to lead their community with integrity? How can they ensure they have access to all relevant information about their candidates? The answers to these questions will likely have far-reaching consequences for the future of Shasta Lake and its governance. As the political landscape in Shasta Lake roils with controversy, the broader Shasta County faces electoral challenges. The Shasta County Voter Information Guide for the 2024 presidential general election sparked confusion among some voters due to the absence of Donald Trump's name from the political party endorsement section. Despite Trump's popularity in the county, the California Republican Party did not submit their endorsement for him by the deadline. The County Elections Office clarified they neither solicit endorsements nor provide reminders about submission deadlines. The guide does not include Trump's name in the party-nominated officers category. Local GOP members who were contacted for comment largely declined to respond publicly. The situation highlights the importance of understanding electoral processes and the potential impact of every vote, as exemplified by recent close races in Shasta County, including council and supervisor elections decided by narrow margins. Your vote matters. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
It's been a while since I could hold my head up high. And it's been a while since I first saw you.
And we're back. A little stain there. We saw Aaron Luce in, what, 2 months ago? A month ago?
Did
or
you?
Whatever. Yeah,
oh,
we did.
Wow.
It was great.
Where was that?
Rolling Hills.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They have a lot of people come out. They're always very surprised.
Yeah, they actually do. But,
yeah.
Anyway, so we're back from break. And do we want to continue with some of our top headlines? Or?
Let's do it.
All right, so the next one that we got is Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Thank you. It's not coming out. Got the...
Yeah.
BN?
BB.
BB. BB. Okay, got this new plan to get rid of 200
shekel?
Mm-hmm. You know, a shekel.
Yeah.
A shekel bill. That's interesting. Saying it's to fight crime in Arab communities. But it's not that simple. This move could mess with Israel's economy and even impact Gaza, which uses shekels, too. They're talking about phasing out cash entirely over the coming years, which is a big deal. It is similar to what India did back in 2016 and that caused numerous problems. Can you imagine? It caused problems anywhere if you go cashless. The government says it helped catch tax cheats. I mean, they always, you know, use this as it's criminals or to catch tax cheaters or whatever. It's just a bunch of BS is what it is for the reasons that they're giving us. But it also means more control over people's money. They are even considering restricting things like owning gold. It's part of a bigger trend of governments trying to control money more tightly. Pretty controversial stuff, if you ask me. This whole situation is making some folks nervous about government overreach and privacy concerns. It's got people wondering if we're headed towards a future where every transaction is tracked and controlled by the powers that be. Well, we're pretty much there. People haven't noticed. You know, how many people do you know, one, use cash and don't use some form of credit card or debit card?
Yeah, I was going to say, and this is just my opinion, but the developing nations have already lost one battle. One time I heard someone say that, you know, we're pretty much, all our money is digital. There's just one bug. It's called cash. So,
there you go.
You know, yeah. I was like, man, they're right. So it's going to be phased out. And again, but there is hope with Bitcoin and other solutions, and everything will go digital and transactions similar to the blockchain. Everything will be visible. So I think, and again, this is my opinion, rather than just trying to fight them and keep cash forever when we know that's just not going to be an option anymore. It's just figuring out other routes and other ways to pay for things than just one.
Bartering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. I'm raising up my goats. Just kidding. But yeah.
Those who want to know what a shekel is. Mm-hmm. Is my mic back?
Yep, you're back.
Okay. Yeah, a shekel is just a unit of weight. It's a biblical term.
Mm-hmm.
So it would often referred to as in a shekel of silver.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So of course it would make sense for Israel, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, even like the gold and stuff. I mean, it's hard for them to know who's got the gold in some aspects, but not if you start doing a lot of trading and stuff. It could become an issue.
Yeah, and I think every nation is going to say, put it, just attach it to the anti-laundering and what is the AML laws? Yeah, so it doesn't surprise me that that's the scape that's going under, and then they want to say, cause, and most crime is done with cash, specifically the U.S. dollar, so
if
we can just say, well, we want to track that, so no more cash and things, that's just gonna, how it's going to go.
Sure.
Yeah.
We see that happening.
Already.
Yeah. Well, did you know the Bank of New York Mellon? It's America's oldest bank, by the way. They've received SEC approval to custody Bitcoin for major investment firms, and it's signaling a significant shift in the financial landscape. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long, long time, that the custody issue is, once that's been resolved, where people feel comfortable about where they can keep their Bitcoin, a bank, for instance, which is something that we just completely do not agree with.
Yeah.
But people, you know, that's comforting for them. So now the bank has stepped in, got the approval, and will be doing this for major investment firms. And eventually it will probably pass on down to us regular folks. And it's this development's reflects a growing institutional interest in cryptocurrencies and could lead to increased competition, potentially impacting Coinbase's market share and forcing it to innovate further to maintain its position, because primarily that's been the primary custodian holder, institutional custodial holder. So very interesting there with that.
Yeah, it is. But it's kind of like, you know, even other assets that places, banks and stuff hold. You know, a lot of people with their gold and silver, they don't actually hold it. It's in a vault somewhere. And
sure.
Like you say, some people do feel more comfortable in that environment.
So some questions that comes up in X, it's like, will clients be allowed to directly send Bitcoin to the bank for custody? Will the bank provide regular proof of reserves? What interest rate will they charge to borrow against your Bitcoin? Yeah, so we need more specifics before I think any of us jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, and I think with that, those are all great questions, and it's kind of helping to secure America's position in advancing and financial markets and innovation. So I guess along with that, we can roll into an SEC highlight. So Gary Gensler, he was on CNBC, and he, as you may assume, stuck to his usual script on crypto. When he was asked about Trump's idea for a national Bitcoin stockpile, Gensler, he kind of dodged the question, saying it wasn't his place to comment, which, okay, I understand that, but he also just used his time to bring up how many crypto bigwigs have ended up in legal troubles, using that to argue why the industry needs more oversight. So
yeah,
I
that's
think
it.
Maybe before we get into it, we play.
You want to
play the
clip?
All right,
here we go.
Tom Emmer, doing what he does best, berate Mr. Gensler. Take a look.
Which brings us to the debt box case in Utah, where your attorneys, who no doubt heard your anti-crypto rhetoric, went out and deliberately lied to a court in order to effectuate the commands from their chair to prosecute crypto companies. Chair Gensler, do you know of any other time in history where the SEC has been sanctioned by a court for material misrepresentation?
When we hire folks, we hire
them. No, reclaiming my time, sir. The answer to that question is no, it has never happened. Does the fact that we're talking about this today even slightly embarrass you?
Look, the matters in that case were not well handled, and we said that
again
to the court.
Reclaiming my time again. Just to be clear, the SEC had to pay with taxpayer dollars nearly $2 million in legal fees for this material misrepresentation, for this lie. Is the DebtBox case the reason that why the SEC's head of crypto asset and cyber unit resigned in June, sir?
No, they went to take another job.
Okay, so no one in a senior level position here in Washington, D.C. has been held responsible for this complete abuse of taxpayer dollars. Somehow, worst of all, you've made up the term crypto asset security. You made it up, only for your lawyers to retract it in a footnote to a court just last week.
This gets into, speaking of a business owner, this is getting into the Coinbase case versus the SEC and where they stand. Take a look.
So Coinbase repeatedly, 30 times, tried to come in and register with the SEC, and the SEC refused to respond. They then submitted a petition for a rulemaking. Then the SEC identified potential violations in a Wells notice, but refused to identify what those were. Howie, in your mind, is very clear. Commissioner Peirce, is this moving target, is this lawlessness by the commission conducive to investor protection?
No, it's not.
Grayscale Ripple, over and over and over and over again, your administrative actions have been struck down in federal court.
We knew ahead of time that there were legal questions about whether we had the authority to do what we did, but we moved forward, and this is not good for our institutional integrity.
I can't imagine, first of all, that this is being said by the commissioners of the SEC in open hearings in Congress today. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, that's a stunning soundbite, definitely.
Yeah,
it's just Gensler needs to go. I'm sure the people in our chat, though, loves this guy.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that, no. Yeah. But, yeah. The whole SEC lately, I mean, come on. Yeah. Really? Yeah. We are out of control.
Yeah. And I think it's clear the American people want digital innovation.
Sure.
It's not going to be stopped. And if we don't just kind of make a good ecosystem for digital assets here that includes having safety and security laws, it's going to go offshore. And, I mean, yeah, just look at what happened with FTX.
That's right.
And then it really affected a lot of Americans. So it's, well, yeah, he would have enough use cases of now.
Who would think that Sam and P. Diddy would be in the same cell together, right? I mean, who could have imagined that?
Wow.
That's true.
Yeah, they are. They're in the same cell.
Wow. That was not That was not on my 2024 bingo card.
No, I didn't know they were actually in the same cell together.
Yeah,
I thought that was made up.
No, they're cellmates. Yeah.
Oh my. But yeah, at the end of the day,
was this by choice?
No, it was so that P. Diddy was on suicide watch, so they matched him up with Sam.
Oh. So he thinks he's safe?
Oh, gosh.
I'm leaving it alone. Yeah. Okay, let's move along because that is a rabbit hole. I don't think we want to go down.
No. That will really freak out the chat.
What I see here, it's like it's crushing opportunities in the financial future of the U.S. And another, I think, senator or someone said, like, it's time for the SEC to return back to its mission of protecting opportunities for Americans wanting to participate in the best capital market in the world. And I couldn't agree more.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah, they shouldn't even be playing into this space, really.
Right. And if Trump, when he gets in there, you know, he said he would cut a lot of these three-letter agencies and take it back to the states. So that would be interesting if they would cut something like the SEC kind of back.
Yeah.
And
well,
take it to the
state. Just restructuring.
It's
just like there.
Yeah. There's so much expansion of government that they can't manage it anyway. I mean, look what's happening locally. We've got all of these wants, and we try to fulfill them, and we can't manage what we already started 20 years ago. It's just unreal. So, well, we've got a couple things here. Well, let's take a vote. What do you guys want to talk about? We've got this Wall Street quiet coup. That's kind of an interesting thing. Or, you know, what does ChatGPT know about money?
I thought that was really interesting when I started looking at that because, you know, when I saw that, I thought, what? You know, they're going to come on one side or the other. You know, the most likely, let's just be honest, we think they're going to lean to the left on everything when it comes to the sound money piece. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I was actually surprised. It was pretty straightforward.
More center, and just bringing up just the different types of economics and stuff, it seemed like when I skimmed it.
Yeah, it was like, wow. You know, that's pretty close to the truth of what we know, instead of saying, you know, it's all on the left side and everything.
I think we're still in the golden years of AI. I love ChatGPT, and it makes me love it more, helps me with so much. So it's good to know that somebody's kind of asking it these questions.
Well, the author's conclusion, you can find this at the Mises.org. Website, and it's the titled, What Does ChatGPT Know About Money? So the conclusion of the author is that he found no evidence that ChatGPT was biased in its responses, and it probably wasn't hallucinating either. And it treated government and free market positions according to the training it received, which was a mixture of statism and free markets. Users should challenge ChatGPT by questioning its responses with contrary information, as the author did with deflation and prosperity of the late 19th century. If mankind has a future, a flourishing of critical thinking has to start somewhere, so perhaps generative AI such as ChatGPT could serve as a model and inducement, which is true. You have to know your material when you're dealing with these AI engines.
Yeah.
You know, this mixture of statism, and we're talking about Keynesian economics there, debt-based economy, MMT. I mean, that's why we have the problems that we have today. So I'm glad to see that. And, yeah, you do have to keep the AI engines honest.
Yeah, well, and part of that, too, it was when it went into the metallic-based money, how it was saying, you know, it's personal liberty, limited government,
right,
and freedom from inflation. I mean, we know that and everything, but that was kind of surprising to me to see the ChatGPT come up with that,
right,
and say that in the contents of the information.
Yeah, and being that it referred to economists like Karl Benger, who is the key figure in Austrian school economics.
Yeah.
So, you know, Plan B, you know about who Plan B is, right? On X?
No.
He's got a great following, and very rarely, he hasn't made a market prediction in a long time. It's been like two years. So it's interesting what he just popped up with and what he's saying about Bitcoin. So this is going to get our chat people all excited here. That he's predicting, and it's a possibility because we were up, 66,000 today? Something like that?
Yep. Yeah.
So October, looking for a classic pump. This is a four-year cycle. This is what happened the last four-year cycle. Bitcoin at 70,000. November, when Trump wins the election, it ends the Democrats. Biden, Harris, Warren, Gensler, war on crypto. Bitcoin to 100,000. Now, this is just a prediction by a guy named Plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In December, massive ETF inflows, pushing Bitcoin up to 150K. In January, crypto people, companies that are returning to the United States because we have a change of administration. Bitcoin goes to 200,000. Power law crew sales, which is, I don't even know what that is Bitcoin of 150,000. Bitcoin legal tender in Bhutan, Argentina, and Dubai, Bitcoin to 300,000.
Wow.
In April, yeah. Trump and U.S. start building strategic Bitcoin reserve, Bitcoin to 400K.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, we're starting to, this is starting to sound like Michael Saylor stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
In May, other countries except the EU joined the rat race. Bitcoin, 500K. And in June, several AI start using Bitcoin to autonomously arbitrate TradeFi. Bitcoin to 600K. And we know somebody who's already using AI to function, you know, work their trade.
Yeah, and do TradFi stuff totally.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You bet. Moving on to July through December, face melting. Fear of missing out. Bitcoin, all-time high of 1 million.
Wow.
And then 2026, a distribution phase. Bitcoin backs down to a half a million. And then a bear market. It bottoms out to just to about a quarter of a million.
You know, I don't know about the timeline necessarily that it's going to hit like that. But he's Plan B isn't the only one that is talking about Bitcoin.
Yeah, he's no slouch.
Being in the six figures. You got a lot of top guys or people, they're not all guys, saying, you know, at least a six figure is coming, and it's not that far off.
No, Plan B, just so that you want to know, he created the stock-to-flow model for Bitcoin. So he's not no slouch. He's a charts guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you know, it's pretty hard to say exactly on this date financially this is going to happen, but I have no doubt this is going to happen.
Oh, I have no doubt either.
I bet it is the future. Yeah.
The timing may be a little different, but yeah.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left here. Do you want to hit that that last cut? That's going to take us right up to the hour.
Sure.
We probably won't have time to play it.
Oh, I guess we
it's just a little longer, so. Yeah.
You know, we can always talk a little bit, you know. Again.
Yeah. I did want to say, too, when we were talking about just Israel and removing cash and stuff,
that
we're not for people doing crime with cash, and that's not
at all.
Why we want it. I think it's just preserving.
It's about freedom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And having choice, not having the government watch every little thing that we do. I mean, they have a pretty good eye on us as it is, but they shouldn't have to control the money that we're using to spend. And who's to say if they just decide to maybe turn it off?
Yeah, and coinage is part of the,
it's part of the Constitution.
Right. Yeah. But how then, I don't know if that's actually defined and all that, but it isn't there, so it is a right.
Yeah. I don't think they'll ever get, well, if Trump gets elected, he's not going to eliminate that, he's not going to get rid of the Constitution, folks. He's not that person.
Yeah.
Maybe the other one that's running definitely doesn't like the Constitution and thinks it's a living document.
Yeah, but didn't they have to amend the Constitution to allow them to print money? Because we used to have currency and stuff, and the government wasn't...
It was
coinage.
In it.
Yeah, they didn't have to be part of us doing it.
What do you
the
mean
government that? Didn't have to be. We did coinage before the government did. People did. Sure they did.
You mean through the mint?
Yeah. No, I mean... We had coins or medium of exchange of something. Yeah, privately that we didn't have to have the government. Now it's all, you know, government stamped.
That is so that it's legal tender in our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they made that up. I do believe.
I'm not tracking.
I guess I'm not explaining.
I'm not tracking.
They've made it so that they're the only ones that can do the minting of the coin, which isn't necessarily legal.
We're getting the hook.
Yeah, I'm
good time
saying.
To end this
anyway,
conversation.
Okay. All right, see y'all next week.
Take care.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's is a name I love to say, and we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain, oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain, gonna rain, till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name.
This has been an encore recording for Tokens Radio Show from September 29th, 2024.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
The Town